Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Taiwan Mobile Conference Call. Our chairperson today are Mr. Cliff Lai and Ms. Vivian Xu. Vivian, please begin call and I'll be standing by for the question and answer session. Thank you.
Okay, good afternoon. Welcome to our 2013 first quarter results conference call. Before I start our presentation, I would like to direct your attention to our disclaimer page, which states, the information contained in this presentation, including all forward-looking information, is subject to change without notice. Whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, and Taiwan Mobile undertakes no obligation to update or revise the information contained in this presentation. No representation or warranty, either expressed or implied, is provided in relation to the accuracy, completeness, or reliability of the information contained herein, nor is the information intended to be a complete statement of the company, markets, or development referred to in this presentation. Let's turn the first page to business overview. In the next three slides, I would like to highlight our growth area. First, on mobile business, if the customer's actual contribution was considered without a revenue adjustment under the current accounting policy, the mobile service revenue actually would have increased by 4% YOY in first quarter, boosted by the continuous strong growth in wireless data revenue. In addition, for first quarter, our wireless data revenue also would have been up by 30% compared to a year ago, credited to a 47% YOY rise in mobile broadband revenue. The small QOQ dip in mobile service revenue was due to voice revenue decline, resulting from increased mandatory cuts in mobile termination rates. Please turn to the next page. Regarding our smartphone strategy, apart from 14 exclusive smartphone models we currently have, we also have around 37 smartphone and tablet products on the market. In first quarter, smartphone sales volume was up 29% from a year ago and accounted for 83% of total handsets sold. In addition, mid to low-end product mix was 43% for the quarter. Credited to the increasing smartphone bundle sales, our mobile data adoption rate reached 44% of the postpaid installed base, rising from 32% a year ago. Please turn to the next page. As indicated in the table, our internet subscriber number increase of 9% and DTV customer number growth of 60% were both higher than the 1% subscriber rise in analog TV service in first quarter, representing the trend of an expanding penetration rate in both DTV and the cable internet business. As a result, HPG continued benefiting from its operating leverage in first quarter, despite revenue pressure from the lower cable TV subscription fees. Please turn to the next page, which is show our new products and services. This page of new products and services are what we have launched during the first quarter is for your reference. I will turn the mic to Vivian on our financial results. Vivian.
Please turn to the page 9 of our financial results summary. In the first quarter, there were three revenue streams, including wireless data revenue, up 30%, mobile handset sales rose 22%, and online shopping grew 64%. We know that IFRS and the fair value method regarding bundle sales have been applied starting year 2013. In the first quarter, bundle sales revenue adjustments were 143 million less than a year ago. If the above mentioned adjustment have been excluded, the first quarter telecom service revenue and telecom EBITDA both would have actually grown by 2% YOY. Compared to our first quarter guidance, our telecom service revenue met the target. Although we failed to meet our aggressive handset sales target, we still managed to generate better than expected profits from the handset sales business in the quarter. Therefore, our EBITDA was ahead of our first quarter forecast. Assets write-off losses came in larger than expected in the first quarter as we pulled in some of the write-off schedule. Having said that, consolidated net income reached 108% of our guidance. Please turn to the page of divisional performance. Our health fee revenue YOY growth more than the increase in the smartphone bundle sales cost and their related marketing activities in the first quarter. The 3% YOY dip in CBG's EBITDA arose from adding more 3G base stations. EBG's first quarter EBITDA YOY growth largely results from expense discipline. Revenue pressure from the lower cable TV subscription fee has been softened by increased revenue due to a higher DTV adoption rate. In addition, HBG continued benefiting from its operating leverage in the first quarter. Momo's EBITDA constructions was a reflection of its aggressiveness in gaining market share in the virtual channels. The subscription EBITDA declines in CBG and EBG were consolidated with a lower base of network-related cost, as well as a lower telecom service revenue in the first quarter due to seasonality. Let me turn the presentation over to Rosie for balance sheet and cash flow analysis.
Yeah, on the balance sheet analysis, you will see from the table that cash balance was stable compared to a quarter ago. The year-on-year increase in accounts receivable was a reflection of the accumulated net revenue additions for bundle sales under the fair value method. The inventory level also rose both on a year-on-year basis and quarter-on-quarter basis, which is primarily due to more handset procurement. Unappropriated earnings increased to $7.9 billion from $1.3 billion. The balance at the end of 2012 under ROC GAAP due to the adjustments adopting IFRS fair value method starting 2013. So let's turn to cash flow analysis. In the first quarter, operating cash inflow was down due to an increase in accounts receivable and inventory and a decrease in accounts payable. The first quarter cash capex was up to $3.75 billion, mainly due to the $2.1 billion payments of IDC construction costs made in first quarter this year, which was delayed from 2012. In terms of financing activities, the net cash inflow of a quarter of a billion was due to an increase in short-term borrowings. In addition, as you might be aware of, a five-year, $5.8 billion of straight bonds was issued with a coupon rate of 1.29% in late April. With the spiking in cash capex related to the new IDC, free cash flow came in at $0.19 billion, which is lower than a year ago. I'll turn the mic back to Vivian for event updates and key messages.
As you can see from the upper portion of the event updates, Taiwan Mobile Board has approved a proposal to distribute year 2012 dividend and cash returns per shares of 5.5 NT dollars, pending AGM's approval. Separately, the bottom portion of this slide lists the awards we have recently received for your reference. Please turn to the next page for the key messages. To wrap up our presentation, the slide summarizes the key message that we would like to deliver. Our efforts in committing resources over a wider range of areas continue to pay off as reflected in the 2% YOY EBITDA growth of the telecom business. When compared to our peers on a like-for-like basis, we will continue our endeavors to strengthen our market position and are confident in achieving our goals for the year. Okay, we open floor for the questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will now poll for questions. If you'd like to register for a question, please press star 1 key now. Thank you. Our first question comes from Chade Ben with Credit Suisse Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for the opportunity to ask the questions. I have three questions in total. The first one is regarding the cable television business. I understand that there's a talk about the new regulations that would come in the, and regulate basically the cap on the pay TV price over the next few years. Can you elaborate on that, and is there any prelim impact on, you know, what's your view on that? The second question is regarding the earnings relative to guidance. I understand that in the first quarter you are running ahead of your guidance, both in terms of the EBITDA and bottom line, notwithstanding the fact that you actually kind of running behind on the handset sales target. Would you please explain, number one, why is there any particular reason why you missed the handset sales target in the first quarter? Are you delaying some launch in promotions or something? And also because the EBITDA and bottom line are ahead of guidance, is that you think it's a room that your guidance, original guidance, actually is just too conservative? Thank you.
Okay, regarding the potential tariff cap for cable TV, at this moment, it hasn't been finalized. The NCC is looking for comments from the industry. At this, the cap mainly is tied to the penetration rate of the digital TV. Taiwan Mobile has allocated enough CAPEX to push for greater digital TV penetration. Currently, our digital TV penetration rate is right on our target. So if we hit the digital TV penetration rate, we wouldn't be impacted by these tariff caps. So to answer your first question, the second question is regarding why our handset sales is below our expectations. There are two reasons. The iPhone 5 turned out to be not so strong as we would like to see. Secondly, as you know, the delay of HTC handset, the high-end handset, has affected the bundle sales to a certain extent in the first quarter. So mainly two reasons, the delay of HTC Prime handset and also the slowdown of iPhone 5 created that we couldn't hit our handset sales target. And as for our EBITDA or our EPS guidance, we think that we are not conservative. We are just, I think there are still a lot of uncertainty in the future because the economy in Taiwan currently is not very transparent. So we will have to wait maybe an additional one or two quarters to ensure that to see whether we can, you know, there are some room for us to change our guidance.
Thank you. Just one follow-up question, if I may, on Momo, actually. So can you update us on the progress progress of turning around Momo toward higher growth and improvement in EBITDA margin? Thank you.
Momo has done extensive review of its operation. We have identified several areas which can improve their operating margin. And I think the Momo will start implementing these in order to meet the guidance we set up for Momo to establish this year. So we are quite optimistic regarding whether Momo can hit this year's budget. Even though in the first quarter the performance was not up to our expectations, but the management team has taken the necessary measures to address that problem.
That is perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Lucy Liu with JP Morgan Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I have a few questions. Firstly, it's still also on cable TV business. So you mentioned that your currently digitization progress is on track of your target. So can we have a detailed idea in terms of what's the target digitalization rate you aim for? And also, seems like if, you know, the government is really pushing for digitalization, do you feel that you need to give out more free set-top box to boost this set-top box penetration? So is there any implication in terms of your CapEx on the cable TV side? Currently, you're guiding for a flattish year-on-year CapEx for cable TV this versus last year. So is there any risk for the CapEx?
Okay. Regarding the target rate, I think by the end of this year, we are going to surpass 100% penetration rate in the digital TV. That's in our budget. And if you recall correctly, in this year, we have allocated enough CAPEX for our cable TV business. So the CAPEX has included a low-end set-up box, which is mainly used to dry up the penetration of the digital TV. So that CAPEX, that expense is included in the cable TV budget this year. So there won't be any increase in the CAPEX for HBG this year. And even without this increase of CAPEX, we still can hit the original target we set.
Sure. So just to clarify, so with 900 million allocated for this year, should already reach your 100% penetration by the end of next year, right? So meaning that next year you do spend another 900, then you can 100% penetrate for set-top box. Am I correct?
Could you please repeat your question?
No, I mean, your target is to reach 100% set-top box penetration by the end of this year. Sorry.
No,
so
No. There's no way we can hit 100%.
Oh, okay. Sorry. What's the number then? Sorry, am I here?
100%.
Okay.
100%.
Yeah. Okay, got it. And also, can I actually follow up with one more question on cable TV side? So there's also a new policy discussing about the rezoning. So just to wonder, you know, what's your thoughts behind that?
Even though there's rezoning and open up for competition, the NCC actually has received several applications for entering certain regions for competition. But NCC also realized they don't have a complete process and procedures to ensure they can review the application properly. They can set the competition rule straight. So up to now, even though they have received this application, they haven't made any decision yet. So they haven't published any rules regarding how they will review and how in the future in certain regions how they should be compete, how the different players should compete. So it's still up in the air, and I don't see this will happen. NCC will come out with any guidance in the near future.
Sure. So let's say if there is any more clear guidance of policy given out in the next 1 or 2 years, do you guys have incentive to getting to the other part of the Taiwan to launch the business as well?
Well, certainly. As you know, we are constrained by the law that we are not able to enter other regions for competition because the NCC consider we control one-third of the market currently. So we, under the current law, we are not allowed to enter more regions to compete. Unless NCC and the government has revised the law so that we can enter, revise the one-third law. Otherwise, we cannot, even though we are interested in entering new region for competition. But we, under the current law, we are not allowed to do that.
Sure, thank you. Sorry, my last question is on 4G. So also understand that the bidding process probably will start later part of this year. So what's your strategy on 4G? And also you think 4G will change your CapEx profile as well as the dividend policy in future? Thank you.
Well, it's really too early to say. And in the meantime, I don't think I would disclose my 4G strategy.
Okay, that's fair. Then how about your dividend policy? Can we expect and also such level of special dividend payout in the coming few years as well?
Well, dividend policy is always decided by the board in every April, every year. So it's hard for us to judge whether we will continue or further improve our dividend policy. So as I mentioned many times, Taiwan Mobile is very committed to enhancing shareholder return. That's probably all we can share with you at this moment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register for a question, please press star 1 key now. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register for a question, please press star 1 key now. Thank you. Next, we have a follow-up call, question with Mr. Choi Tiban with Credit Suisse.
Thank you. I just want to ask one more question regarding the smartphone usage on your network right now. Would you share with us what's the average usage right now? Thank you.
Less than 2G.
Per month.
Less than 2GB per month?
Yes.
And how does that compare to last year?
Let me check the number. Double what we had last year.
So it's still double what you have last year. That is perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register for a question, please press star 1 key now. Thank you. Next question comes from Lucy Liu with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, sorry. Can I ask a few more questions regarding operations? So I noticed that your mobile ARPU this year, actually, if we compare on a year-on-year basis, seems like the growth start to decelerate. So can we understand the reason behind that? Given that we still have iPhone 5 and all these high-end smartphones launched in first quarter, do you feel that because of smartphone penetration reached 40%, the high base start to decelerate your growth profile on the mobile side? Thank you.
I think based on the information that I have, our ARPU maintained quite okay. So, but the ARPU hasn't increased so much. There are several reasons. One is that, as you know, this year we have this termination rate reduction, mandatory by mandated by the NCC. That's one issue. The voice ARPU went down. Second reason is that we have in the first quarter 43% of our handset sales is really mid and low end smartphone. So that increased data revenue, but not to a degree like the high end version. So these two reasons play that so that our ARPU is kind of flattish compared with the last year. But in even the ARPU is kind of flat, but the mixture is different because last year, this year our data revenue consists roughly 35% of our ARPU. But last year, at the same time, it's really less than 30% or 25 to 30%. So the mixture is different. Okay?
Okay, got it. And also, can you remind us, you know, how much net impact you guys have from this MTR rate change on your EBITDA?
You mean for the first quarter or?
For the first quarter. Or if you have a full year number, that would be great too.
For the EBITDA, it's less than 0.4 billion a year as forecasted. So for mobile termination rate.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. And then last question from my side.
Yeah.
Excuse me? Hello?
Yes, hello. Can you hear me? So, yes, I have a question on your fixed line business. So if you look at the data, so February and March, seems like your year-on-year decline accelerated to like about 10%-ish on a monthly basis. So what's the reason behind that? And also, what's the trend going forward for your fixed line part of?
In the fixed line, the strategy we have is that we try to boost up the EBITDA margin, the EBITDA, in our fixed line business. So we have done extensive review regarding the EBITDA of each product and EBITDA of each of our accounts. So we try to, because fixed line business is really not a very promising business. So we try to focus on the improvement of EBITDA instead of revenue growth. So in the fixed line business, I don't see significant improvements in revenue other than by the end of this year, we will have this cloud IDC, which will allow us to have more revenue momentum in the cloud service area. Other than the cloud service revenue, our fixed line business revenue may continue to go down slowly. But the EBITDA will increase.
Understand. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register for a question, please press star 1 key now. Thank you. Our next question comes from Alan Lin with BNP Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hi. I have a couple of related questions on your slide number 5 regarding mobile data adoption rate. And, well, I guess these numbers are looking in the past 4 quarters plus Q1 2013. These numbers seem to be a little bit higher than what was disclosed last year. Have there been any adjustments made? And if so, what were the adjustments to cause these penetration rate to be slightly higher than previous disclosed?
Well, I think this is the same with what we have disclosed. But you have to read this carefully. Before fourth quarter last year, we disclosed so-called the smartphone penetration. And starting from fourth quarter last year, we started disclosing the mobile data service adoption.
Okay, so these are basically based on subscribers who actually pay for mobile data service, not just account of the smartphones in the market.
Right, because some smartphone users, they actually don't spend money on the mobile internet service.
Right, okay. So this will be, I guess this is a more accurate count of people actually paying a premium for data service within your subscriber base then. Okay. Now, a second question related to that is specifically on smartphone ARPU. Do you have any indications on the trend in the past few quarters and what it was for Q1?
Guys, it's on the decline. It's on the decline naturally, as you can tell, that we are now tapping into the mid to low end market. So of course the ARPU of the smartphone users will go down.
So can I assume that it's at a level lower than I think Q4 last year?
Lower than first quarter of last year?
Q4.
Q4, yes.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Leo Anderson with HSBC Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I just had a couple of questions on the Momo business, how you see the trends there developing, particularly in the TV
can
home.
Can you speak louder?
Can you speak up?
Yep, sorry. On the Momo business, two questions on the TV home shopping area. It's quite difficult to predict the trends in this segment. Do you have any sort of color on how you're seeing, you know, the underlying business developing? Do you expect it to decline over time? You know, what's the sort of margin contribution? Secondly, there was talk a while back of a tie-up with a Beijing cable TV company. What's the progress on that, please? Thank you.
Sherry will answer the question.
Well, for Momo's TV home shopping business in Beijing, for the first quarter, we have seen a loss reduction. So for the whole year, they will pretty much continue the trend that we saw in the first quarter. As for the business in Taiwan, the key is whether they can they can do better product differentiation in order to shake up the business. Before they can do better product differentiation, to be on the conservative side, we shouldn't have a too optimistic view on its TV home shopping business.
But overall speaking, on Momo, we are trying to, as Cliff mentioned earlier, we are trying to help them review all their operations to reduce the losses from their physical channels and also to improve their business on the virtual channels. So basically we think the outlook for the company should be up a bit this year.
Thank you. And then in terms of medium-term margin, EBITDA margin prospects, would you say mid to high single digits is what you're looking at?
Hopefully, if we can reduce the losses from the physical stores, the chances are high.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have a follow-up question from Ms. Lucy Liu with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, sorry, I have one more question. So this is on your cable broadband business. So recently there's a news flow saying that I think due to the Chunghwa's price cut on the broadband side, so it seems like you and the cable also lowered down the cable broadband offering price. So can we have a better idea in terms of the impact on your revenue or whether you expect more subscriber growth going forward? Thank you.
Well, even though the Zhonghua Telecom claim they have a price reduction, but in reality, we don't see that as a threat because our original price is significantly lower than CHT's price. Therefore, we don't see any big impact in our revenue. However, because of this price reduction, I think in the coming year, we see more and more customers will choose high bandwidth, high speed cable modem. You know, so to answer your question, no, I don't see that will impact our revenue target and our adoption rate target.
Sorry, just to clarify, so I think you, according to news though, maybe it's wrong, but you have already lowered down some of the price offering for your broadband service.
But that's
is
very
that
high
true?
Speed, because that's very high speed.
Okay.
The user of those very high speed users are not a significant number. So that even though that price is lower, it really doesn't hurt so much because the absolute EBITDA contributed by that those segments actually will be higher. The margin will be lower, but the absolute EBITDA will be higher.
Sure, understand that. So can I understand, so why you guys are offering discounts of the broadband service over Chunghwa, and also the speed is actually quite comparable, but why you guys cannot even more aggressively gaining the broadband market share?
Frankly speaking, I think we have been very aggressive already.
Okay, so I thought you could just do even better than this.
Well, I think this is a, you know, in this fixed network market, it's a duopoly. So it really makes no sense that if we reduce price further, because it's only going to, so long as we have enough difference between between our offering and CHD offering, so that people can have a choice. If we lower our price, from our perspective, if we lower our price too aggressively, CHD will have no choice but to lower the price, which really doesn't help the market at all.
Sure, understand that. But I think, you know, we're reading to some of the recent industry data. Seems like, you know, CHD's fiber to the FTTX is still gaining the absolute market share at expense of, you know, cable. So just to wonder why people still stick with CHT's business rather than your cable broadband.
Well, you have to look at this market in, there are two different markets. The fiber to the home market is really in the metropolitan area, like in Taipei City. Because in the rural area, in certain outside the metropolitan area, the fiber is really very expensive, and even CHT cannot afford to build all the fiber to this rural area. So CHT tend to have an upper hand because in the metropolitan area like Taipei, the CHT has a very high penetration rate because they provided the broadband service a long time ago. So it's an uphill battle for us, even though our price is lower. Because of the inertia, a lot of people still chose CHT. But in rural areas, like more further away from Taipei, the cable modem sometimes can offer a speed much higher than CHT. And in the past, the penetration rate was lower there. Then the cable modem has the upper hand. So this is, so you have two markets, and we try to increase our market in those suburban areas, while in the meantime trying to compete with CHT more effectively in the city. So that's why we don't necessarily think that price reduction is necessarily a good way. Our current approach is try to bundle our cable modem with our digital TV service, because right now we have a mandate from the NCC not only to increase the broadband penetration but also to increase the digital TV adoption. So we try to price the digital TV more aggressively so that when people subscribe to our service, they not only get a cable modem service but they also get a digital TV service.
Sure. Thank you, Cliff. Yeah, very helpful.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register for a question, please press star 1 key now. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register for a question, please press star 1 key now. Thank you.
Oh, if there's no further question, then thanks everyone for attending this conference.
Thank you.
Have a good holiday.
Thank you. Thank you for your participation. This concludes the conference.